Into hour number three. Welcome back. My name is Jim Rohn. We are live in Southern California. And this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We are down to our last hour before the NBA trade deadline. A Woj bomb, which I will get to momentarily. But we start this hour by talking some Maryland basketball. We are joined by the head coach at the University of Maryland, eighth season at Maryland. He has led the Terps to seven straight winning seasons, three tournament appearances, 12 postseason appearances at three different programs, a conference coach of the year in two different conferences. Maryland is currently ranked number 24 in the AP poll, 18-6 overall, just a game and a half out of first in the Big Ten. And they are hosting number 15, Purdue, Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Mark Turgeon is my guest. Mark, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How you doing?
Good, good. Good to talk to you, Mark. So let me start here. You're coming off a 60-45 win over Nebraska in their place where you held them to 20 points in the first half, 45 overall, which is the fewest you've ever allowed in a conference game in your 8 years there. So how proud were you of how locked in your guys were defensively?
Yeah, we were locked in, and that's probably the smartest we played defensively all season. We have a young team, but the guys bought into the game plan and executed it, and our length gave them some problems. But probably where I was the happiest is our transition defense. We haven't been great in transition. We've worked extremely hard on it the last couple of weeks, and it showed up last night. So if we get our defense set, we're pretty good.
So if your offense is not clicking early on the way it wasn't, what kind of a message and lesson do you think that gives your guys that if they do play that smart defense you're talking about, that you can stay in a game, lead a game until the offense does get rolling?
Yeah, it was good. It was kind of good because we were a little lethargic, weren't playing well, a little bit out of it. They were scoring pretty easily on us at the start of the game, and then we just kind of locked in defensively, and it was really our second chance points and our defense that got us going. We got a couple steals, got some layups. Then we relaxed a little bit. We were never great offensively the whole night. Giving Nebraska credit, they did a nice job guarding us. But, defensively, I just felt comfortable because we were so good. We rebounded great. I think we had 53 rebounds last night, and I think we're leading the league in rebounding. So we continue to do that great, and it does help. You know, as a coach, you can relax when your guys are guarding. It really takes a lot of pressure off you as a coach and takes a lot of pressure off your offense.
Maryland head coach Mark Turgeon joining us. Jalen Stick-Smith. Mark had a nice game. He had 18, including 11 straight. When you were down 15-8 in the first half, he had a tough game against Wisconsin the last time out. So how pleased were you with the way he bounced back and picked you up last night?
Well, he's done that a few times. He's bounced back for us. He's a great young talent. He's 6'10", playing the four for us, and getting used to playing with the center. You know, in high school, he was the center. He was the guy they threw the ball into. So he's changed his game. He's actually really skilled. He made a three last night. But I just like the way he played with toughness, and he's getting tougher. He's skinny. There's a reason we call him Sticks. He's skinny, but he's getting tougher. He's getting extra weight workouts in. You know, this time of the year is tough. It's the dog days. But he's got, you know, I think four extra weight workouts in the last 2 weeks. And we pound on him before and after practice with pads and different things. So it's making him tougher, and he's getting better. So I was happy for him because he's a great young man, and I was happy to see him have a lot of success last night.
You know, Mark, at the same time, he was an elite player coming out of high school, and the transition is not always easy for high school players. And as you point out, you're asking him to do something that he was not doing in high school. He's making that transition. Teams have tried to be physical with him. You knew that would happen, and that's why you've had him spending time in the weight room. Like, how much has the physicality of his game changed since he did arrive on campus?
Well, I think it was really tough for him. I think he's put on 19 or 20 pounds since he's been here.
Wow.
Which is extraordinary, yeah. And he's still skinny. But I think the Michigan State game was an eye-opener for him. They beat him up pretty good, and he really struggled there. And since then, he's been getting extra weight workouts in. He likes to gravitate on the perimeter because he feels more comfortable there physically. But he's working, and we're able to post him more, and he's been able to do some things down there, which really helps us. And then I think offensive rebounding is where he really made a big step in the last couple games, just getting to the boards and finishing around the basket.
We're talking to Mark Turgeon. So you've got a few days before the start of a stretch of home against number 15, Purdue, and then you're at number 7, Michigan, and then number 20, Iowa, all in the span of just a week. How do you go about approaching the next few days before that starts, and then how do you handle it when you're in the middle of it?
Well, we you know, every game has been hard in our league. I think it's the best league in the country, and we're beating each other up pretty good. But with that said, we played one more game than anybody else in the league. We're kind of ahead of everybody, so we've had some time. We lost to Wisconsin on Friday. We took the whole weekend off. I thought it really helped us. We had played 5 out of 6 on the road, and I thought it helped us last night. I thought our energy level was good as the game went on. So we'll take a couple days off. You know, we'll take today off. We're going to take Saturday off, but we'll try to get better. We'll keep working on some things. The great thing for me is I have a young team, and they're willing to learn and listen. And because of our schedule being so tough, we continue to get better. And even in our losses recently, I think we've gotten better. So that's encouraging. I try not to look at a 3-game span. We just look at Purdue. I know what lies ahead. I think we got Michigan twice in our last 6 games. So we have a difficult schedule, but that's just a credit to our league. And we've already played, you know, a lot of top tier 1 games, or tier 2 games, however they look at it, you know, for the NCAA tournament.
You know, Mark, I had Trailblazers head coach Terry Stotts on yesterday, and we were talking about your former player, Jake Layman, and how much his game has grown. What do you think when you see him dropping 25 in an NBA game and then killing opposing teams on back cuts?
Well, I'm really proud of Jake, because Jake was a guy that probably wasn't an NBA player coming out of high school, had a lot of talent, worked hard. You hear the term all the time, trust the process. He trusted it. One of the most loyal kids I've ever coached, really turned our program. He went through the bad times to the good times, to a Sweet 16 team. So I'm really happy for him. And now he's done the same thing in the NBA. He's waited his turn. He's gotten better, continues to improve, and he's making shots for him. So I'm really happy for Jake, great kid. And I think he had 20 and a quarter one game. But you know, a lot of the things that we do in our system helps prepare guys for that next level. I think that's, I don't know if it's my job, but I got to get guys better. And I think Jake's comfortable in that Portland system.
Maryland head basketball coach Mark Turgeon is my guest. Now, Mark, earlier this season, I know that you and your players hosted a number of athletes from Special Olympics Maryland. I know your connection to Special Olympics goes back a long way. What was it like to see your players and the Olympians working together and playing together?
Yeah, it's awesome, Jim. I played for Larry Brown at Kansas. We started at Kansas, and it's something I just fell in love with. And besides Special Olympics, we do a lot in the community to help young people in different areas. But the Special Olympics Day is one of my favorite days of the year. And I have a great group of young men, and they just embraced it, and they got after it. And we drilled them, and we scrimmaged with them, and we had a lot of fun. And it's the best 2 hours of the season for me. It's great for my young men to see how fortunate they are, but also see how happy young people can be, and the thrill of playing basketball. And had a lot of Terp fans there that day, and it was just a terrific day. And you know, hopefully my guys are blessed, they're lucky they get to play college basketball. Hopefully things that we do in the community, whether it's feeding the hungry or Special Olympics, as they get older, they'll give back in the community because of what they learned in college.
That's great. That really is great. You know, you mentioned Kansas. You met a man nicknamed Rainbow because of the arc on his shot. He was part of the Special Olympics. The two of you bonded to the point that when he passed, you were a pallbearer at his funeral. What was Rainbow like, and what kind of an impact did he have on you?
Rainbow is a little bit older, and he had a really high voice. He talked really high and like this, and he came out and he shot his first shot and it went like 25 feet in the air, and I think he made it, and we just went crazy, and we nicknamed him Rainbow that day. And he came back multiple years. I think I did it all 4 years at Kansas. And I stayed in touch with Rainbow and his family. After I graduated, I stuck around Kansas, and he just had a big impact on my life. And I think a lot of the things that I do with Special Olympics is because of Rainbow. And he was a good friend. And he was a lot of fun. He made me smile. He made life better for me.
Mark Turgeon, my guest. You know, Mark, you and I have talked about your family in the past, and now your oldest son, Will, is averaging 24 minutes per game as a freshman at Catholic University in D.C. How proud are you when you watch him play now?
Oh, man. I can't even describe it. His minutes have gone up. He's starting. He's playing about 32, 33 minutes a game now down the stretch, and he's just really grown as a player. He's shooting close to 44% from three. And the great thing for me is he stayed home. So I've been able to see 8, 9, 10 games this year. I think he wanted to go away. It worked out for us. He's loving it. I'm really happy. You know, as a dad, you just want your kids to be happy, and my oldest is really happy at Catholic, and things are going well.
You know, finally about that, Mark, I wonder, because our oldest son, Jake, is going through the college decision process right now. He's a senior in high school, so the entire family is dealing with the prospect of him leaving home. What was that process like for you guys? And then how is it having Will about a half hour from home?
Well, the process, my wife was really into it. We just tried to figure out what Will really wanted. Did he really want to play college basketball? Is it something he wanted to pursue? And he said yes, so... we just looked around. I did all the D3 stuff for him and looked around and took him up to Boston to see one of my former players. Brad Stevens was great. We sat down with Brad before the game, and Brad was a D3 player, and he kind of convinced Will that it was a good route for him, because he got to play and he got a chance to play for a national championship every year. So that's kind of where it went. We thought he was going to go away from home. In the end, he wanted to stay home. It was a great decision. We just had to give him room. It's tough. And, you know, the house is different, as all parents know when they start to leave. The house is different without him. But lucky for us, we get to see him, you know, quite a bit.
That is big. That is really big. Maryland is number 24. They're going to host Purdue on Tuesday night. Coming off a really nice win over Nebraska, their head coach 8 years in with the Terps now, Mark Turgeon, my guest. Mark, great to have you on. As always, always good to get caught up and talk some basketball with you. Mark, thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Have a great day, Mark. Great talking to you. Always good to have you in the jungle. Maryland head coach Mark Turgeon. All right, we are open the rest of the way. 1-800-636-8686. And by open the rest of the way, I mean now we're at 45 minutes to the trade deadline. Looks like, according to a Woj bomb, Mark Gasol is on the move. No Woj bomb or any other bomb about Anthony Davis yet. Dell Demps winning the day. Kevin Mawai was awesome. I don't want to lose track of that fact. A lot of reaction to that. And when we come back, I want to reset that. No podcast this week. I've got thoughts on that. Baker Mayfield's not going to win the NFL Rookie of the Year award. And if you think that he didn't notice, you're not paying attention. Sergio Garcia, still a bag. If that carries to tomorrow, it probably won't jump the day. So I'll try and get that in right now. All of that and your telephone calls still ahead. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So it's always good to make some new connections. Mike Dom, South Dakota State. Great interview in hour number one. Always good to get caught up with some old friends. Kevin Mawai, Hall of Famer. And then Mark Turgeon has always been extremely good at the jungle. Always been pro-jungle. Always been available and accessible. So you stay in this thing long enough. That's how that goes. Always good to get caught up. No podcast this week, and I want to explain to you why that is. But at the same time, I want to give you something in exchange. Trade deadline now about 40 minutes out, a little bit less. This email says, even we think the Pelicans got ruthless revenge on the Lakers. Signed the guys who killed John Wick's dog. Stephen PHX. War Harrison Barnes checking Woj's timeline during all future timeouts. It's a big John Wick house. Love John Wick. Dear Jim, now the Lakers know how we feel. Signed fat, ugly dudes at a club. Casey, New Hampshire. His subject is Lakers, too ugly. Or the guy talking to the pretty girl while she looks around at everybody but him. Now the Lakers know how we feel. Signed, fat, ugly dudes at a club. Rome, chaos is a ladder that I need to climb. Somebody get me a freaking ladder. Yours, baby Jessica. Aaron in Omaha. You know, Aaron, I never block anybody. Go on Twitter. Look at my Twitter feed. Nobody's blocked. Nobody's blocked. 8 million a-holes coming at me every day on Twitter. Nobody's blocked. You, Aaron, are blocked.
Block! 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 Block!
All right, so Baker Mayfield did not win the NFL Rookie of the Year award. And if you think that he did not notice that, then you don't know Baker Mayfield. If you think that he did not notice that, think again. because you do not know this guy.
Yeah, I'll use it as motivation, but, you know, the more important thing is winning football games. Yeah, it's more frustrating than anything because of Saquon, and that's my guy, so it's something he can hold over my head forever now. But you know what? I'll use that as motivation, and we'll be better in the long run.
Man, thank goodness. So good to see that. Finally, Baker Mayfield is motivated. Finally, he's showing some motivation. Finally, this guy has something to get him out of bed in the morning. Finally, my man's got a chip on his shoulder, something he can put on his shoulder. Finally, Baker has some juice and some drive. I mean, can you imagine how good this guy would be if he could just find some motivation now that he's not just going through the motions and actually has got some passion now? Obviously, I'm kidding. I mean, nobody's got more juice. Nobody's got more motivation. Nobody's got a bigger chip on their shoulder. Nobody's got more of an edge. I'm telling you, this guy's all motivation. This guy's all juice. This guy's all passion. Even when you see him walking Radio Row, he's got like this gait and this it. He's got an energy to him. He's got a momentum to him. Just walking around the set, it's something to see. My man is pure motivation, and that's before finishing runner-up to Saquon, which I love. This is a guy who's already proven everything to everybody. This is a guy who walked on two different college teams and won the Heisman. This is a guy who had doubters coming into the draft and was taken number one overall. This is a guy who completely turned around the worst franchise in professional football and maybe professional sports. He and his crew turned Cleveland's team into America's team. And yet when we sat down in Atlanta, he still remembered what everybody said when he was coming out of college.
I knew exactly what they were going to say. They had their comparisons. They wanted to compare me to Johnny. They wanted to say that, you know, I had, you know, character flaws, all that stuff. But I knew if they asked anybody that I was around within our locker room, the people that I actually, you know, had my hands on and I affected, that I would have positive reviews. And I wasn't worried about that. That's why I wanted to get in front of those people, get on the board, talk football, you know, talk about who I really am, where I'm from, why I am the way I am, why I'm wired like that. If I had that chance to do it, take advantage of it, because I feel like that's something special. And, you know, I'm thankful the Browns took a chance and believed in me.
God, this dude, man, what an answer. I mean, that's so true. All the people that were speculating, you're the next Johnny Manziel, you're this, you're that, you're this. He's like, I didn't care. I knew that as soon as I got in front of the people who mattered, and that as soon as the people who mattered spoke to the people that I'd been around and played with and played for, that as soon as I got to a grease board or a whiteboard and we talked football, that they would know. They would know what I'm about. They would know who I am. And by the way, those comparisons to Johnny Manziel, how dumb are those comparisons right now? Comparing Baker Mayfield, a guy who turned a franchise around, to a guy who bombed out of the NFL and threw more interceptions than TDs in the CFL, and who's been accused of assaulting and rupturing his ex-girlfriend's eardrum during an assault? Are you kidding me with that? Baker Mayfield was compared to that guy? I'm not sure what's more embarrassing. People comparing Baker Mayfield to Johnny Manziel, or just Johnny Manziel? Because as bad as those comparisons look right now, Manziel actually looks flat out worse. Anybody who made that comparison should apologize to Mayfield immediately if they haven't already. Mayfield is right about that Rookie of the Year award. And the real focus is on winning games, not winning awards. But that does not mean he's going to forget about that award. And the worst part about coming in second is that Mayfield and Barkley had a bet riding on that. And not a financial bet, but a jewelry bet. The loser had to design and buy a chain. And Mayfield already knows what he's going to do. Quote, it'll say quads on it. A diamond tribute to Barkley's tree trunk legs. He said, quote, not say quads, but just quads. The two extra letters in there cost a little bit of extra money, so we'll stick with just quads. End of quote. And he told Cleveland.com that he's going to be right back at it in the offseason working on his game. This is really interesting. Baker says, just do not look for him to be hanging out with a quarterback guru. Quote, no. Check this quote out. No. I'm not going to have any guys swiping a broom at my feet in the ocean. That type of quarterback training. I don't believe in that. I'll go to a normal gym where I trained last year. I don't need some guy to try and teach me how to throw. I'll have a guy that pushes me in workouts, has other athletes in there. The intensity's up. It's a working environment. End quote. Hell yes.
Hell yes.
No guy swiping brooms at his feet in the ocean. Nobody throwing couch cushions at him. Nobody chucking volleyballs. Nobody making him dodge tires when he's going through his progressions. Just grinding and getting better. C-Town, if that doesn't get you hyped for next year, I don't know what will. Between losing the award, getting the quads chain, getting after it in the gym, and not with a broom in the ocean. Man, I'm ready for next season to start. Last year was good. This year is going to be even better. Man, everything about this guy says chip on his shoulder. I'm not working with a coach who's got a broom in the ocean. I'm not going with some guru. I'll be in a gym, doing work, getting better. I cannot wait to see what this guy looks like next year. I can't wait to see what America's team looks like next year. I can't wait to see what America's coach looks like next year. And I can't wait again to see what America's quarterback looks like next year. I'm telling you, I saw that guy, and I didn't spend a lot of time with him, but just watching him move around that room, come up on the set, he's all about energy, momentum, and attitude, but the right attitude. Dear Jimmy, if you need a fill-in on the podcast this week, let me know. I'm not a very confident speaker. I struggle staying on topic, but what I lack in charisma, I make up for with a very large audience of approximately 15 clones that I can offer you. Let me know. I will flood your mentions on Twitter until then. Thanks. 12 Wood. Dan in Denver. RTN. I will skip the week before I book the Wood. It would. No offense. I appreciate all the support. Hey Dan, like, look at who you're coming from. Or for. Nooch yesterday, 12 Wood today. Dude, who's next? Josh in Detroit? Hey, bro, that fruit, it's not even low hanging. It's 6 feet under the ground. I mean, come on, Dan. Hey, Rome, you said that Surge being a bag might not carry the day. No, Surge is a bag. Always has been a bag. Will be a bag tomorrow, and will be a bag for the rest of time. War me taking the bunker over Surge in the rematch fight. Damasio in Albuquerque. You know what, D, you make a pretty good point. If the guy is a bag, always has been a bag, always will be a bag, then you're right. He will be a bag tomorrow. I'll see. When we come back, one last segment. It's a big segment. I could carry it. I've got multiple takes still. And we're bearing down on the trade deadline. Down to the last 29 minutes or so. But I would take a good phone call if I saw one. 1-800-636-8686. Sports update for you coming up right now. Huge call is coming up momentarily, and I can't see how anybody's going to win it. Going back to Kevin Mawai. Crazy Pepsi Dad tweets. Love hearing from Kevin Mawai on the show. Speaking as a Titans fan, our run game has sucked since he left. You know, I ran out of time because he was so good. I was going to actually mention that he talked about being in New York, but he's the first Titan to go into the Hall of Fame. And I was unable to get to that. Sorry about that, KJ. Dear Jim, Kevin Mawai's coach knew how to push 100 different buttons. I've popped 100 different buttons. Yours? Phil Morsel Sons dress shirts. Brett from Bugaha. Wore my Lonzo jersey, living to fight another hour. Phil Morselson. It's horrible, Brett. You're horrible, and that's horrible.
Hefty.
Hey, Rome. Terrell Davis, 49er, Long Beach State, Big West. Signed, Devin Glendale. I couldn't get to everybody. I mean, there's so many legends from the Big West. This guy writes, War Tragic and the crew doing a cannonball in the pool and the Pelican crew and the Clips diving like Olympians. Tragic. Tragic Johnson he's talking about. Chris No Longer on St. Pete tweets, in honor of trade day, we are proposing trading Baby Jessica references and fax submission for AC Green and a celebrity to be named later. Here's my counter. There is no counter. You get nothing. I'm just going to handle that like Dell Demps and not respond. Quick side hustle programming note. Some of you hit me up on social last night looking for the pod, wondering why you could not find it, especially since I promoted it. And I want to make sure to tell you today that it's because it's not there. Sorry about that. It's one of those things. You know, they happen time to time. We had a scheduling conflict come up at the very last minute. And we're going to look down and run down Hines Ward in the very near future. So I look forward to doing just that. And getting you guys another episode next week, whether it's him or somebody else. However, not all is lost. I did hit the voicemail solicits pretty hard on Tuesday. And here on the radio program, you guys responded by showing up on my answering machine in a very big way. So instead of dusting off that tape next week or burying it all together, I'm going to actually roll it back right here on the big show. Since I asked you guys to hit me up and you did, it's only fair. And since we're on topic, really quickly once again, part of the weekly original podcast is a segment devoted to your voicemails. So if you always want to lob me a telephone call but haven't had the stones to do it, there is a voicemail for you. It's kind of like the D-League. It's a developmental league for the program. If you're not ready to call me live, hit me up with a voicemail. Get some reps in. Get your practice in there. Or if you can't wait on hold, there is a voicemail for you. Or if you've got some after-hours take that you have to get off, there is a voicemail for you. Do this. Put this number in your phone right now, 949-385-0447. 949-385-0447. It's your 24/7 call-in line. Like the best, weirdest, funniest, lamest, tightest, drunkest, most incoherent messages get played back every single week on the pod. So take your shot. Anything goes, as evidenced right here on this week's batch.
First new message.
Today is Super Bowl Sunday, and I saw you on my TV, and you look good.
Message saved. Next message.
Hi, Rome. Manny Pacquiao here. Super Bowl Sunday, and I was looking for that puppy bowl, but I put the Food Network on, and it's nowhere to be found. Can you help me out?
Message deleted. Next message.
Romy, Justin in Melbourne. You know, there was a lot of hype this week about the mastermind, Sean McVay. I haven't seen that much hype going into a big event since Matt and Tyler were in last year's Smack Off. And you know what happened when McVay goes against Hoodie and those two Canadian honks go against the BIC? They both got smashed.
Message saved. Next message.
Hey, Jim, this is Blaine from the 812. Today I took VTO from work, which stands for voluntary time off. Not only so I can come home and bake, get an early head start on baking, but so I can listen to the whole Jim Rowe show live. I guess I'm just a jungle degenerate.
Message saved. Next message.
Yo, Porzingis, what's the correct way to say your name? Is it Chris Stops or Chris Stapps? And I am so happy that you are finally out of New York because they didn't deserve you, you very pretty, pretty boy.
Message saved. Next message.
Oh, yeah, Jim Rohn Podcast, Macho Man Randy Savage 2019, dig it, yeah.
Message saved. You have no more messages.
949-385-0447. Hit me up whenever you want, about whatever you want. Then listen back for it every single week on the Jim Rohn Podcast, which you can find wherever the hell you get your podcast from. That's not hard to find. You can do it. You can do it. It's everywhere now. 1-800-636-8686. Let's talk Sergio for a minute. I meant to get to it earlier in the week, but it has been 5 days, and the world of golf is still waiting for Sergio to address what went down at the European Tour over the weekend. If you missed it, it's because you were focused on the Super Bowl. Let's just say that Sergio Garcia was once again doing Sergio Garcia things. No, he did not drop a full bag of chrome softs into a pond like he did at the Masters last year. He went full bag when he got DQ'd for purposely mauling a bunch of greens at the Saudi International. Let me repeat that, because I don't think that's gotten nearly enough attention. Serge was playing an actual European Tour event, one that Dustin Johnson flew halfway across the planet and won. He got pulled from the field Saturday when players behind him complained that he was purposely jacking up the greens. Reports had Serge ripping up, quote, no fewer than 5 greens. I mean, you pull a move like that on a Muni track, you get your ass kicked in the parking lot. But you pull a move like that on the European Tour, apparently all you get is a slap on the wrist, an early flight home, and one of the all-time lame apologies from Serge. Quote, in frustration, I damaged a couple of greens, for which I apologize for, and I have informed my fellow players it will never happen again. End quote. Great, Serge. Cool apology. About as cool as when you almost two-sleeved that water hazard at Augusta and then said, quote, it was the first time in my career where I made a 13 without missing a shot. While the Euro Tour is letting this dude skate, one guy on this side of the pond is not. Brooks freaking Koepka. Because Brooks is not about that life. Brooks was not afraid to say something about it when he was on the Playing Through podcast.
It's frustrating as a player to see, to act like that. The disrespect to everybody, to act like a child out there is not, it's not cool. It's not setting a good example, and, it's not cool to us, showing us no respect or anybody else. That's just Sergio acting like a child. I mean, it's unfortunate, that he's got to do that and complain. Everybody's got to play the same golf course. So,
right.
You know what? I mean, I didn't play very good, but you didn't really see anybody else doing that. And
no.
I mean, you're 40 years old, so you got to grow up eventually.
You know, it's Koepka. Koepka normally plays it really straight. Koepka's not a guy looking to make waves. Koepka's a guy who's definitely letting his game do his talking for him. He didn't pull any punches there. And the guy is a badass. Like, when I think of golfers on the planet that you don't want to get on the wrong side of, he literally is at the top of that list. I mean, dude is built like a freaking house. I mean, he's not just well put together for a pro golfer. This guy's put together for a pro athlete. He's a rocked up unit. A linebacker swinging wrenches. I said it yesterday. Saquon Barkley stood out on Radio Row for being a physical freak of nature. Brooks Koepka is like that at every tour event that he pegs it up at. This guy looks like he could Magic Mike his way out of that Nike gear and play 18 in that thong that he was rocking on vacation a couple of weeks back. And while I know he sounded pretty measured, pointed, but measured, when he was talking about Sergio, he did hit him with old man smack.
You're 40 years old, so you got to grow up eventually.
The only video that's out there of Serge ruining that course last weekend is the temper tantrum that he threw in the bunker the day before when he blasted out onto the green and then lost his dome and started smashing sand around because apparently he didn't like that shot. Dude went triple club slam and then slap shot. All before dropping a couple of four-letter bombs in his native tongue. And to be clear, nobody kicked him out for that. Just playing Jack the Ripper on the putting greens the next day. I know cheating is the number one sin in golf. Even a rumor that you cheated will hang with you for the rest of your career. But if this dude really went lumberjack on nearly one-third of the greens, how is that not as bad? It's Sergio Garcia. He's been doing baggy things his entire career. It's not like I expected a good apology, but some apology would have been nice, and not just the one that the Euro Tour probably wrote for him. But then again, we are talking about a dude who blamed Augusta for making five golf balls go snorkeling when everybody on the planet knows you can't go tin cup on number 15. He's also the guy who blamed flaming out at the Open Championship on the long wait before he hit his shot.
When you're one shot in front, hitting a 3-iron into a green where there's danger everywhere, having to wait at least 15 minutes to hit your shot doesn't help. Doesn't help at all. I wasn't very happy about that. I thought it was in and kind of moved a little left and lipped out. So it's the way it is.
And, of course, he's also the dude who hocked a freaking loogie into the hole and gave one of the all-time bag excuses for that as well.
I didn't spit. I just let it go down. But anyway, it's not a big deal.
The Euro Tour is just hoping this whole thing just goes away. CEO Keith Pelley said, quote, "The incident is over. We have dealt with it. Sergio has apologized to the players, and we move on," end quote. I'll tell you when it's over. I think it's over when Brooks Koepka says it's over. And right now, he's not saying that. He's calling Garcia a child and hitting him with 40-year-old smack and telling him to grow up. And reminding everybody that even though Serge slid his way into that green jacket, it didn't change anything. He's still that same dude, baggy as ever.
You're 40 years old, so you got to grow up eventually.
You're 40 years old. You got to grow up eventually.
I didn't spit. I just let it go down. But anyway, it's not a big deal.
I love Koepka hitting him with like, "Hey, yo, old man. Man, you're 40, old man. You got to grow up, man." In other words, grow up, brah.
I'm not going to say I lost it.
But grow up, brah.
Stop winning it.
503 Snow Ninja tweets, "As a greenskeeper, I would have teed off on his grill." This guy's saying it's a reason to go. Hey, listen, he better be glad that Koepka didn't see that as a reason to go. You don't want that guy giving you the hands. Rome, did that tool on the voicemail? These guys are the best, Tyler and Matt. Rome, did that tool on the voicemail just compare me and Tyler to Sean McVay and being overhyped? I'll take that. Do you want any part of this phenom McVay next season? Just like you don't want any part of two rising Canadians in Smack Off 25, Matt in Vancouver. All right, write it down. And I tend to see it the same way. They're going to be back. McVay's going to be back. He got worked. He got turned inside out. He got outcoached. He'll be back. And the Canadians will be back. Peloton is a game-changing indoor cycling bike that brings the energy of a live studio class right into your home anytime you want, winter or summer, rain or shine. With the Peloton bike, it's always the perfect weather to sweat. Learn more at onepeloton.com. Hey, can I tell you, I've been fighting that sinus infection for a week. Did not work out for a week. It was killing me. I jumped on my Peloton yesterday, got a sweat in. Man, it was nice. Felt so good to be back on that bike. Get yours. OnePeloton.com. Thanks to South Dakota State Jackrabbits forward Mike Dom, Kevin Mawai, Hall of Famer, Mark Turgeon, Maryland head basketball coach. Trading deadline coming up now in about 7 minutes. My thanks to the XR4TI. Nice job, clones. Well done. Let's make sure we finish this thing out strong tomorrow. Hit it hard. See you then. We're out.